Okay. Good morning, everyone. It's about 9:05 on Friday, September 16th. I'm Julie Fedorchak. I'm chair of the Public Service Commission. We are gathered here on the 12th floor of the State Capitol for a work session on case number RC-22-339. So that RC indicates who's in charge. That would stand for Randy Christman. And so I don't have any opening comments on this. I'm going to defer to the portfolio holder. I'll check with my colleague, Sherry Haugenhoffert, who is also here. Do you have any opening comments, Sherry?
No, I'll defer to the
RC as well.
RC as well.
All right. So, Mr. RC, it's all up to you.
Okay, but dodging that whole thing and restoring this to a reclamation RC case.
Oh.
I don't have any questions on my mind specifically that I wanted to address with staff. I have had a ton of them going into the case and a handful since, but I really am out of questions at this point. I think in my mind I'm pretty clear on an outcome of this case, but I guess before I would get into opinions on it, I would just kick it back. I don't know if either of you have questions.
I also don't really have any questions. I thought the case became really clear through the course of the day, and having the ability to ask both staff and the company and Mr. Eisenbeiss questions, it all became a lot more clear what really his, I think, his issues are. And the role of our office in those issues, and what types of solutions, if any, might exist. So I also don't have any questions, Randy.
Okay. So then, before I start opining, I'll check with Sherry.
I would agree with both of you. I don't have any questions. I thought the hearing was very detailed, and I appreciated the work that really went into the case. I like that we got an independent evaluation too that really clarified a lot of stuff. So with that, I have no further questions.
So staff might get by pretty easy here, unless our opinions are all completely different and that we need to work on getting them to something that can come to an order by the commission. So this case kind of saddens me a lot because there's a couple of things that I think are just kind of important in life that come into play here. And one of them is an agriculture native. And I'm just issuing my opinion here, but I think there's a lot of ground in North Dakota that was broken up over the years, either when, you know, we didn't know as much about what weather patterns would exist in this region over the course of decades when new people were settling here, and also not knowing how farm practices would evolve over the years either. And so there's a whole lot of land that was broken up that, in my opinion, never should have been. And I think there's an argument to be made that the east side of Mr. Eisenbeiss's property falls into that category because there's a whole lot of acreage to the east of it that drains that way in order to get to the bottom of that Beulah Trench that then carries that water northerly toward what's now Lake Sakakawea, but originally the Missouri River. And so when all that water comes across, there's just going to be issues. And I think that's kind of affirmed by the fact that the mine land that is in the, or was in the permit, is in the permit, that's adjacent to this, had been broken up earlier too, and the mine restored it back into grasslands. Because there's going to be water that flows there. And that's not the mine's fault. That's because that is where we live. And there is waterfalls, sometimes, oftentimes less than we want, and sometimes more than we want, in a hurry, and it has to flow somewhere, and it flows where it's going to go, and it's across this property. Then we get to another thing that, going back more so to my time in the legislature than here, but that I've watched, and really I would say it was with all the mines in that area that I was very familiar with being from that district, and that is they have a tendency to try to be good neighbors and do some favors on things that aren't necessarily related to what they're doing, but they are able. And just like I think a lot of larger businesses all over the country, when it's possible, will do some favors for their neighbors. And whether it's a company doing that for someone or whether it's us as just people, many times you do a favor for someone and it turns out perfectly and everybody's happy and you go away feeling good about it, and whoever had the favor done for them is delighted that you did it, and that's that. And just like the things that we do for ourselves, sometimes we do a favor for someone and it doesn't turn out as it was intended. It doesn't turn out well. And then is that still a good neighbor deed when it was done with good intentions, but in the long term didn't work out perfectly? Or is that something that they should be held responsible for and is a big problem? I guess it's just something for all of us to deal with in our hearts. But when something is done with good intentions, even if in the long term it doesn't work out as well as it was hoped, to me, it's still a good neighbor effort. It's just a good neighbor effort that didn't get quite the results that were intended. So, in this case, a lot of Mr. Eisenbeiss's complaints and things that he has requested relief from, listening to it, there's a lot of it that is based on hearsay and assumptions, and the judge instructed us with her legal expertise to disregard those portions. And in my opinion, after that, it doesn't leave all that much. There are a couple things, I think, in question. There certainly is some erosion that occurs here and some access issues. But like I said, that erosion was obviously going on well before the mining came. That's why someone had created a diversion up there in the first place that either was not built to the standards that it should have been, or just in time it filled in. You know, I don't think there's really any, I didn't hear any good evidence that clarifies that, but it wasn't working anymore. The farm operator asked for help to solve that problem because the water was flowing over their property and causing problems. And it just appears to me the mine did a good neighbor policy and tried to help. And it's not working as well as it was intended. And one of the problems that wouldn't necessarily have been foreseen at the time, I don't think, was the change in ag practices and different operators of the property. And so the one that asked for it had different access points and maybe different and smaller equipment. But anyway, now the solution has become part of the problem, and that now there's not only sometimes inadequate drainage that to prevent runoff issues, but also access, because it involves using that ditch. But I really, at the end of the day, don't see this as a mine-related activity as much as a good neighbor policy that didn't work out perfectly. And we don't regulate those, in my opinion. It's nice of the mines to sometimes notify us so that if we hear that, you know, someone talks about, oh, the mine is doing something over there, or the mine did something over in that place, we don't have to then follow up on it and find out why they were off-site. They tend to usually notify us in advance, I think, so that we can immediately explain that it's not a mine-related activity. But I really heard nothing in here that tells me, provides any evidence that this is a mine-related activity. And it's unfortunate. I hope, sometimes there's the old phrase about no good deed going unpunished. And sometimes that can cause people to quit doing good deeds. And like I say, over the course of quite a few years of watching, not Coteau specifically, but all of the mines in North Dakota do some pretty, I think, outstanding good neighbor type works. It has to be limited. They can't do everything for everybody, but I've been impressed by the things they've done, and I hope that doesn't stop. And frankly, I'm not sure there's still not potential here, but one of the things is, after some years now of hard feelings, I can see where the mine is wanting, not if they're going to do someone a favor, for not just permission to go on the property and do that, or have a contractor go on the property and do it, but to have, which Mr. Eisenbeiss said that he granted them permission to do something, but I can see where they would probably want to be, and I don't know the legal term for it, but absolved from liability if it doesn't turn out perfect. Because like I was implying at the beginning, and the reason I brought that all up about once we break up land that is questionable whether it should have been, is there ever a perfect solution? Sometimes it can be an ongoing issue where drainages plug and need more work, and that are having to be forever liable. And so I can see where they would potentially want more than just permission in some of these cases. And he said he gave them permission, but I don't think there was ever the type of legal waiver that I would expect they would need to go off-site. But I do wonder in my mind, and I wish I had thought of this possibility during the hearing when both sides were here and sworn in, and we could have visited about it. I still wonder why, if you think of Mr. Eisenbeiss's quarter land that is in question here, and although it's not precise, but it's kind of divided down the middle by the bottom of that Beulah Trench. So I look at the east 80, roughly, as the area in question. And that's where he has the access issues, because he can't get in from the county road because of the bottom of the natural drainage. And when he wants to go enter from the county road on the north side, the drainage ditch has to flow there. And it's too deep to cross with big equipment, they say, although there were pictures that they are still farming it, so they're somehow getting across. But I can see it being problematic if there's some significant ditch there. And yet, it's probably not deep enough to put in big enough culverts to handle the potential water. And so what could be done about that? And if it were possible for the sides to agree, but I just don't feel this is an issue for... It's not a mine issue. It's something that neighbors, it seems to me, could potentially do, or the county could even do. But maybe the hydrology experts and reclamation experts have a different opinion. But somewhere in that 80, from the eastern edge of the Eisenbeis property down to the bottom of the trench, if there were adequate culverts put across the county road so that the water would flow to the north and then run down the north ditch until the bottom of the creek, so that whoever owns that property on the north, if that's where they're getting access to it, could do it from the east half of that 80, and Mr. Eisenbeis could then fill in that ditch a little bit on the west half of that 80, because the water wouldn't need to be going there anymore. It would be flowing on the north ditch. I don't know if there's any possibility of that. I don't find it something that I have the authority to do an order on, because I don't consider this property problem to be a mining related issue. I guess I hold some hope that maybe once the case is done and the sides have our order, that relations can improve and there's maybe a chance of something of the relationship improving and getting something done. But I'm not even going to go into that anymore unless there's responses like that that's not possible or something. Bottom line here is I don't see this as a mine-related issue unless my fellow commissioners have something that would suggest that our probable hydrological consequences study is incorrect. But based largely on that and all the history we heard, again, I don't find this to be a mine-related problem, and I think the complaint needs to be dismissed.
Go ahead, Commissioner. You sure you want to go next?
No, go ahead.
Okay. So, Randy, I have come to the same conclusion, and it really comes down to the one thing that was determined, from my understanding, and staff, you guys can correct me, but it was determined originally with the permit, and then it was determined again when there was a revision, and then it was determined again when you guys reviewed that work, and it was confirmed by the third-party outside consultant, and that is that the post-mine flows through this area would be less than the pre-mine flows. So that conclusion, to me, is like the ultimate fact. And so it tells me that even if there had been no mining in that area and never a trench dug, Mr. Eisenbeis would be having problems with this ditch and with erosion on his field, and they would likely be worse than they are today. So yeah, I agree that this isn't mining related, and so there really is not a remedy for us to order through this complaint. You know, I will say, just on a personal level, I have a lot of compassion for Mr. Eisenbeis in terms of his dealing with his mom at the time that all this was happening with Alzheimer's. I think we've all had family friends who struggle from Alzheimer's. My dad died from Alzheimer's. My mom died from Alzheimer's. And that is not an easy journey. It just isn't. and you're very defensive of these folks when they're at their worst. And I feel like some of this problem is wrapped up in Mr. Eisenbeiss kind of wanting to defend his mom during that time, and that he felt like maybe she was not appropriately represented. And, you know, be that as it may be, I think the bottom line comes back to the ditch that happened without Clyde's approval is an enhancement to that property that is probably serving more of a purpose than he recognizes right now. And I lead that conclusion comes from your guys' work and the third-party engineer. And so my hope is that, you know, when all this is said and done, that maybe Randy's solution or some other solution can be identified to enhance that drainage ditch and further protect that field so that, and improve the access so that those issues, because it really came down to he is frustrated with the erosion to the ditch, the lost acres, and the blocked road. And if there's a solution to all those that can be achieved, either with Randy's suggestion or something else, I think that is outside of our purview and will have to be decided by Mr. Eisenbeiss and or the parties as they're willing to participate. So that's where I'm at.
Well, I concur with both commissioners that the evidence brought forth does not show that the erosion is mine related. But I too want to take a time to just bring forth what I observed on a personal. I agree Mr. Eisenbeiss was dealing with a mother that was dealing with Alzheimer's, but it became clear to me some of his frustration was when North American Coal was given, he said, permission by Wayne and Esther to do the work, and then there was a contact between Clyde and North American Coal where he said, I don't give you permission. And the work continued. There was no evidence to say, brought forth, you know, as far as, and it's not mine related, it was a good neighbor, but I think that was one of his big frustrations where he verbally gave North American Coal, no, you don't have permission, but it continued. So that's something for you guys to work out, but it's a concern that if work is done verbally and then a verbal statement is saying, no, I don't want things done, where that lies between the partners there. But that was concerning for me. And I think Mr. Eisenbeiss reiterated that point several times. So hopefully there is some type of resolution that can demonstrate North Dakota nice for all of us. I'll just end it with that. So again, I want to thank the staff who have done a lot of work on this case. And your work is well noted. So thank you.
It sounds to me like an order is forthcoming for a vote that would dismiss this case. And I guess there's another aspect to it. Mr. Mann, representing North American Coal, had asked that it be dismissed with prejudice. And that's the direction I'm contemplating at this point. And so if there's different feelings about that, curious to know now.
Probably be helpful for Jack to remind us what with prejudice means and how that impacts the case.
Generally, that's reviewed as that the matter cannot be brought back forth again.
To us.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, I would agree. I think there's been a lot of time and research, and the case is clear. So I don't have any concerns that something is missing or that different things could be brought forth.
And multiple times between the informal.
Yep.
You know, we've had, what, two previous reviews and now a formal complaint.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
I concur. The staff has spent a lot of time, and I think we need to be relieved of this. So.
Well, the last thing I want to say, was there anything else? I have one little summary thing. I expressed this individually to a couple people, but I want to say this more publicly. Our reclamation staff came in here and provided tons of information. And when you look at Mr. Eisenbeiss's complaint, both this time in Commissioner Fedorchek's case and the previous round as well, Mr. Eisenbeiss was armed with a lot of information. Now, the accuracy of some things and some conclusions that he draw, you know, are not part of the same. Clearly, our staff had looked up and found and delivered to him enormous amounts of information, and we're also doing a good neighbor policy, and I mean, it's our job. That is true, but I think went above and beyond. Mm-hmm. A lot of those people aren't here now because we've had quite a few transitions. And so we had new people who weren't a part of previous reviews come in and sit here that day and answer questions as if they had lived this whole thing from the day the original diversion went in and however many decades ago until now. And our other work has gone on too while these folks were preparing for this. And so I don't mean even just the folks that from the reclamation team that testified, but the whole group, I think, has really shown well for the commission and for the state of North Dakota the type of people we have working here. And outside of just feeling good about that I had gotten the information I needed to make a good decision, I came away very, very proud of our team.
Well said, Randy. I did too. You guys really did an awesome job, so thank you, and good work. Do we need to walk through the order at all? Was there any direction anybody needed on that, or do you guys want to just work that out with Randy?
I think it'd be better if we worked it out with Commissioner Chrisman. Okay. It's still fairly preliminary at this point. We were kind of hoping to get some feedback before we kind of finalized a lot of this. So,
okay.
But we may need a special meeting. Have we discussed that, Zana?
We have not.
Okay. I'm assuming due to the time frame for us to, the 30-day time frame to actually issue an order, we may actually need to set forth, schedule a special meeting, which whether that we need to do that right now or at a later date, we can do that too.
Yeah. So it's like the 28th?
Right.
The 20th is the deadline?
Well, the LEC conference is the 28th and 29th. So those won't be days, so it would be, have to be prior to that, beginning of that week probably.
And our next commission meeting is next Wednesday, so it's not going to be done by then.
Correct.
I guess, yeah, because today's Friday. All right. We have a hearing on an informal. The 27th is fairly busy, but we could maybe just tack it on at the beginning of one of the, or the end.
I didn't even think to bring my calendar with.
Me either.
We can follow up after the meeting and get something scheduled and set aside.
The 26th and 27th are Monday and Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we do have an informal on with NextEra on that afternoon of the 27th. It's on the light mitigating stuff. And so it's, I think it's possible that we could do something at the beginning or the end of that, because we'd all be here anyways, so that's already on the schedule.
Yeah, so. I know Pam is working on something too. She's talked to a couple of us on scheduling. I don't know if she's talked to you yet, Julie.
For that day?
Yeah, one of them. Oh, we have three options, three dates.
Okay. Well, this will only take like 10 minutes, this special meeting.
Sure.
So it would...
I think the 27th.
Typically, it's better to do something that's so short like that tacked onto something that's already on the calendar. So that would be my preference rather than blocking like the middle of an afternoon with 10 minutes. So,
because there's sometimes confusion with people who, you know, aren't frequently involved with PSC-related things, this will be a meeting for us to potentially debate and vote on a formal order. This is not something where either of the parties involved are asked questions or get to testify. It's a public meeting. They're welcome to be here, but this mm-hmm. is not something for anyone to participate in other than the commissioners.
Point. Okay, so you guys will work with Randy and then circulate the draft order, and we'll do a special meeting. Maybe get that on the calendar as soon as we can.
Yep. I think the 27th, I think, is a good date.
Okay. All right, everybody. I think the work session on case number RC 22-339 is concluded. Thank you.